So last week we started Perigalov, and we started off with Altrebe bringing down Astira, a contradiction between that which it says in Masechtas Nida, that the neshama before it comes down to this world is made to swear to heat tzaddik val to heat rasha, that it should be a tzaddik and not a rasha. But then furthermore, Rafilo kol ha'ilim kula eim l'cha tzaddikata, even if everyone tells you you're a tzaddik, hayei b'enecha k'rasha, a person should view himself as a rasha. And Altrebe points out that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos which says the exact opposite. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, v'al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha, don't view yourself as a rasha. And Altrebe continues and says also, it's not just that we have here a stira, it's not just there's a technical issue that we have two Mishnahs, each one saying a different thing, but also in Havana, in understanding, it's hard to understand what it would mean that a person should view himself as a rasha. Why would Torah want us to view ourselves as Rishayim? Because either that will lead us to be depressed, or that will lead us to give up hope, and then it makes no difference what we do. So that's what we learned last week. Today I hope to cover a lot of ground inside, because it's technical, Perek Aleph. In other words, towards the end of Perek Aleph, that's where it really begins the Chassidus element of Tanya, and that takes us to the next 52 chapters. But right now the Alter Rebbe is setting the foundation. And because the Alter Rebbe is going to say such radical things about what is a tzaddik and what is a rasha and what is a beinoni, and people are going to come along and say, who says this is what a tzaddik is, and who says this is what a rasha is, and who says this is what a beinoni is? So the first thing the Alter Rebbe has to do is he has to establish the facts according to Nigla, according to the Gemara. And after we're from the Gemara, we're going to prove from the Gemara the definition of tzaddik, beinoni, and rasha, and that's necessary before we even begin the conversation. This book is called, as mentioned, the Sefer is called Sefer Shel Beinonim. But before we begin the conversation of what is a beinoni, we have to establish what's a beinoni. A beinoni means someone who's in between. So who's the beinoni in between? He's between the tzaddik and the rasha. So if we want to know who the beinoni is, we also have to understand who the tzaddik is and who the rasha is. And then we have some sort of context. If this is what the tzaddik is and this is what the rasha is, so the in-between person is right over here. And that's what we're going to do right now, is we're going to look at various gemaras, and we're going to try to establish what is the tzaddik, what is the beinoni, and what is the rasha. And we're going to start inside, where it says Acha Inyan, which is on the page that you have over there, seven lines from the top. Acha Inyan. So the Alter Rebbe says, however, the idea is Kihine Metsino B'Gemara Hechelukes. If we go through the entire Gemara, we find that in general, there are five different categories of people, and they are tzaddik v'toivle, tzaddik v'rale. It's tzaddik, simple translation, tzaddik v'toivle means a tzaddik and it's good for him, tzaddik v'rale, a tzaddik and it's bad for him, rasha v'toivle, a rasha and it's good for him, rasha v'rale, a rasha and it's bad for him, ubeinini, and the beinini. So these are five different categories that we have. That we find. We find it talks in the Gemara many places about a tzaddik, it talks many places about a rasha, it talks about a beinoni. But within tzaddik and rasha itself, we have two categories, a tzaddik v'toivle and a tzaddik v'rale, and a rasha v'toivle and a rasha v'rale. In the Gemara, literally, the word tzaddik v'toivle means sometimes you have a tzaddik v'toivle, you have a tzaddik who is a righteous person and is good for him. He has parnasa and he has health and he has nachas. That's a tzaddik v'toivle. Tzaddik v'rale means sometimes you have a person who's a tzaddik v'rale, and it's not, he doesn't have a good life. He's poor, problems with the health, with the children, whatever it may be. And then the same thing you have on the opposite extreme. You have a rasha v'toivle. You have a rasha who, despite the fact that he's a rasha, he's enjoying this world, and the world is good to him. The Eibishter is good to him and gives him a good portion of this world. And you have a rasha v'rale. Means a rasha sometimes, and who has a miserable time here in this world. And the Alter Rebbe is arguing that tzaddik v'toivle and tzaddik v'rale, it's not the same tzaddik, but sometimes this tzaddik can have a good in the world and sometimes not. And it's not that there's one level of rasha and sometimes the rasha has success and sometimes not, but it's different levels. The reason why the tzaddik v'toivle, why he has such a wonderful time in this world, is because he's on a higher level, on a higher spiritual madriga than the tzaddik v'rale. And the same is true with the rasha v'toivle, rasha v'rale. What is the Alter Rebbe's basis for this? The Alter Rebbe says, Upirshu b'gemara, and the Gemara says that Tzaddik v'toiv loy, the reason why the Tzaddik, one Tzaddik has and is good for him in this world is because he's a Tzaddik Gomer, he's a complete Tzaddik. And Tzaddik v'raloy, sometimes he's a Tzaddik and his fortune is not smiling on him. And why is that? Because he's a Tzaddik Sheini Gomer, he's an incomplete Tzaddik. So from here we see clearly that there are five levels. There's the Tzaddik v'toiv loy and Tzaddik v'raloy, which is the Tzaddik Gomer, the complete Tzaddik. And then there's something called Tzaddik Sheini Gomer. He's a tzaddik, but he's not a complete tzaddik. And then you have a benyini, and the same thing, Rasha v'toivle, Rasha v'rale. Just like by the tzaddik, we say that the tzaddik v'toivle is the complete tzaddik. The tzaddik v'rale is the incomplete tzaddik. So by the Rasha also, so we have two levels. You have a Rasha gomer, a complete Rasha, and a Rasha she'eni gomer, an incomplete Rasha.
People, it's not one person. Sometimes it's tzaddik gomer, sometimes not gomer. The same person. These are all different people.
They can be different people, and you can have a Rasha who becomes a tzaddik, and you can even
sometimes a tzaddik.
Yeah, absolutely. These are madrigas. These are levels, right? They describe a given person at a specific time. Yes.
By the beta, we only have one category.
Right.
Beta ni v'tovlo or beta v'rello. So it appears that the beta ni has a mixture of rod tov.
By the time we figure out who the beta ni is, we'll understand. And we'll see that there are many levels in tzaddik. Actually, when we get to this is already in Perek Yud, tens of thousands of levels of tzaddikim, tens of thousands of levels of rishayim. There's only one level of beinoni, and we'll find out why that is. We'll find that out. We need a little patience for that. Yeah.
But tzaddik v'ralo, what's the other people? Is not tzaddik gam.
Correct.
So he doesn't have everything.
When you say it doesn't have everything, what do you mean by that?
Tzaddik Gomer, he's a tzaddik and he's complete, yes.
He's a complete tzaddik. We are going to define what that means.
Yeah, what other people see when he's tzaddik v'ralo is not tzaddik Gomer also. So this guy is not a tzaddik. The other side.
By the time we figure out who a tzaddik Sheni Gomer is, we'll realize that anyone who sees him will realize that he's a very, very big tzaddik. The difference is so subtle between the Tzaddik Gomer and Tzaddik She'eni Gomer. But we're not even going to get to that until chapter 10.
Here will be Tzaddik Gomer.
What?
Here we will be Tzaddik Gomer.
But then we'll be Tzaddik Gomer. There's a famous chassid whose name is Reb Hillel Parashar. And he was a chassid of the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. Mittler Rebbe is the son of the Baal HaTanya, and then the Tzemach Tzedek is the grandson of the Baal HaTanya. He met the Baal HaTanya, he met the Alter Rebbe once, but he didn't see him. It's a whole story about that itself, how he hid under a bed and he wanted to ask him a question. Alter Rebbe came into the room and Alter Rebbe immediately said something and he just fainted, whatever, because it addressed his question. And then Alter Rebbe left. He never saw the Alter Rebbe. He heard the Alter Rebbe, he never saw the Alter Rebbe. Anyways, Reb Hillel Parashar, so he was a very, very big Talmud Chacham and a big Goyim before he became a Chassid. And then he became a Chassid and he learned the first Perek in Tanya. And he said, it used to be that I thought that I was a Tzaddik. And now I realize, Halavai Beinini. Halavai should be Beinini. So you're saying we're going to be Tzaddik and Gevurah by that time. I'll say Halavai Beinini, right? That's correct. Okay, so what do we have? We have five levels. Again, we're not going to be fully defining these five levels for many prakim to come, but we see from the Gemara that there are five levels. What is the difference between a tzaddik gomer and tzaddik sheni gomer? So now we're going to quote a cryptic passage from the Zohar, from the Raya Mehemna. Well, Raya Mehemna parshas mishpatim pirush. The Raya Mehemna and parshas mishpatim. It's explained over there. That what does a tzaddik v'ralei mean? Who is the tzaddik v'ralei? What is the tzaddik she'eni gomer? This incomplete tzaddik, what is his definition? Sharasha by kofuf l'toy v'chulu. That the evil that's within him is subservient to and subjugated to the good. What does that mean? It means he does have some sort of ra within him. There is some sort of ra, but that ra is kafuf, is bottled to, is subservient to the toiv. Again, this is stuff that we're going to have to unpack and explain as we go along. Obi Gemara, Seif Perik Tas de Brachas, in the Gemara, in the end of the ninth Perik of Brachas, there's another statement. It says there, Tzadikim Yetzer Toiv Sheftan. It says, Tzadikim are judged by the Yetzer Toiv. When we say here the word judge, we don't mean a judge as in the one who passes, you know, judges them, but the Sheftan in the sense of tells them what to do. They're ruled by the Yetzer Toiv. Later on in chapter 13, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain why Taka, the word Sheftan, is used over here. Rishoyim Yitzhahara Sheftan. Rishoyim are judged, are ruled, they're ruled by the Yitzhahara. And Beinonim Zevaza Sheftan Vuchulva. Beinonim are judged or ruled by both the Yitzhahara and the Yitzhahara. Vuchulva. Amar Rabbam. So at that point, the Gemara says that Rabbah once made a statement. Rabbah was one of the great Amirayim. Rabbah Bar Nachmeni, one of the greatest of the Amirayim. So Rabbah says, you want to know what a Benyani is? You want to know who a Benyani is? Someone like me. I'm a Benyani. This is what the great Rabbi Bar Nachmeni said. This is what it says in the Gemara. Amarli Abaya. So Rabbi Bar Nachmeni had a student whose name was Abaya, one of the most famous Amiroim. So Abaya turns to his teacher, and Abaya says, Leishovik Marchai Ilchol Beria V'chulu. You're not leaving life for the rest of us. If you're a Benyani, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? You know, tzaddik yisoy d'olam. The tzaddik is the one who gives life to everything. If you're not a tzaddik, then there is no tzaddik. Then we can't be alive even. And moreover, we know that the Gemara says that when it comes to Shani Yom Kippur, so tzaddikim are all signed in the Book of Life. If you're not a tzaddik, then where are we? And where are we? The world is showing. So Abaye wasn't very happy with what his teacher said. Well, often calls Abaye hater. So we have to understand this. We have to understand all these statements. We just said a lot of things. Five different levels. Two levels of tzaddik, two levels of Russia, level of Benyani. One level of Benyani, we have this cryptic idea of that the tzaddik gomer is evil, which is subservient to the good. The statement by Rabba, we have to really understand all this. Moreover, another question. Again, by the way, these questions are going to be answered over the coming prakim, over the coming 25 or so prakim, or more. Another thing we have to understand. Again, all these have to do with what a tzaddik and a rasha and a beinoni is. Also, we have to understand that which Eve says, quoted in Baba Basra Perek Aleph, in the first Perek of Baba Basra. It says over there that Eev turns to Hashem and says, Ribbono shel Olam, these are the words of Eev. Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim chul. You created tzadikim, you created rishayim. And Alter Rebbe is puzzled by the statement. What does it mean that the Eibishter creates tzadikim and the Eibishter creates rishayim? Does the Eibishter create tzadikim and rishayim? The Eibishter creates people. And people decide whether they're going to be tzadikim or rishayim. As the Alter Rebbe continues, Vatsadik Virasha Lekamar. We know that it says that before a person is born, so the Malach brings the Neshama before Hashem, and Hashem decides everything about what the Neshama is going to be. Is it going to be smart? Is it going to be not so smart? Tall or short? Rich or poor? Everything is predetermined. Akel B'dei Shemayim. Everything's predetermined. But the one thing the Eibishter doesn't say, the Eibishter doesn't say, is this person going to be a tzaddik or a rasha? Why not? Because that we have free choice. So the Eibishter doesn't determine whether we're a tzaddik or a rasha. So what did Eiv mean when he told the Eibishter, barasa tzaddikim, barasa rishayim, you created tzaddikim, you created rishayim? That seems to count Eiv.
Who said that Eiv was right?
Okay, that's a good question.
And the Baal Tanya is, he's giving credence to what Eov said. Eov is
So first of all, Eov was a very holy person.
Yes.
If you look in the Gemara and Baba Basra over there, there's even a Shaila, who is a bigger Yerushalayim, Eov or Avraham Avinu? That's what the Gemara talks about over there. And he was an amazing person. But also, that's a good question. And there is a discussion about this. I know the Rebbe talks about this. And the Rebbe proves from the context, I don't remember the whole Vart, but I can find it for you. From the context of the Gemara, it's apparent that the Gemara agrees with what Eov was saying.
Remains with the question that the Baal Tanya is going to
Yes. Yes. The gam furthermore, lehovn hus madrigas habeinini. We have to understand the level of the beinini. Shebeva de'eini mechza zachis mechza avina. Certainly, a beinini is not someone who has half mitzvahs and half averus. Sheim kein, because if that were the case, eich tar rabba ba'atzmei lemer shu beinini. How could the rabba have made a mistake to say that he was a beinini? V'noida, when it is known, d'le pasuk pumi megirsa, that rabba's lips never stopped learning Torah. Never. Ad, to the point, the whole story brought down in the Gemara Bava Metzia, she'afilu malach ha'mavis le'yoye yachal lishleit bay. When his time came to die, the malach ha'mavis couldn't get him because he didn't stop learning. So ve'eich ha'yoye yachal lita is be'mechza avoynes chas v'shalom. If a beinini is someone who has half mitzvahs and half averus, how could Rabbo have made a mistake to say that he was a beinini? That's
maybe
ridiculous.
It's not a mistake. Maybe it's to teach us. If I'm Rabbo and I'm knowing everything and I'm benoni, you guys have to learn.
But that's false. That's false. Humility doesn't mean lying. It's a big. Some people misunderstand what humility is. Humility doesn't mean lying to others. And it certainly doesn't mean lying to oneself. In Chassidic vernacular, that's called shiflu shal sheker. It's called false, false shiflus, false modesty. And that's not a virtue. Another means I know who I am. I know my talents. I know exactly my madriga, my level. And still I'm not arrogant. Because I recognize... Sorry? Avram Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, recognizing everything that he was, he still wasn't arrogant. Because he recognized that everything that he has was a gift from Hashem.
And
Rabbi
not?
No, Rabbi was. The Rabbi definitely was honest with himself. And that, therefore, we have this question. How could he say he was a beinini? It was an obvious lie. I mean, if we're to understand that a beinini is half mitzvahs, half averus, which the Altareb is going to reject that interpretation of what a beinini is. But if the interpretation of a beinini is someone who's half mitzvahs and half averus, then Rabbi was saying something which was a plain untruth. Chas v'shalom. It can't be. That's not what anivus means. At the very least, you could say I can make a mistake in something which is l'fi erach. You know, I think I'm here. In other words, if I'm really here, I think I'm here. But that Rabbi, who never did an Aveda, never stopped learning Torah, should think that he was half mitzvahs, half Avedas, that's ridiculous. And who's going to believe him? What's the point? How did he even believe that himself? So we can't say that a beinini needs half mitzvahs, half Avedas. Void. And moreover, there's a deeper issue over here. Alter Rebbe is going to tell us the notion of a beinini seems to not be able to, it's impossible to be a beinini. Why is that? When a person does an Aveira, he's called a Rasha. A person who does any Aveira is called a Rasha. Even halachically, this is the case. You know, to be an Eid, you can't be a Rasha. A Rasha is Pasul Eidus. What makes a person a Rasha, halachically speaking? A person who does an Aveira is considered a Rasha. It's a halachic definition. So one Aveira makes a person a Rasha. Vim achar kach also tshuva. If the person does tshuva afterwards, then what is he?
He's
a tzadik gomer. Nikra tzadik gomer. Gemara in Kiddushin. It says that if a person marries a woman, al menasha ani tzadik gomer. Says I'm married. Marries a lady, gives her a ring, and says I marry you on the condition that I'm a tzadik gomer. Complete tzadik. The halacha is that even if he's a rasha gomer, the Kiddushin, the marriage is valid. There's a shayla of the poskim whether it's a fully valid marriage or whether it's a suffix, whether it's a marriage. What do you mean? He married on the condition that he's a tzaddik. We know he's a rasha. We know that 2 minutes ago he was eating ham, and now he's marrying someone on the condition that he's a tzaddik. And we know that when a marriage is conditional upon a certain condition, then if that condition isn't met, the marriage is null and void. Not null and void. Null and void. Connotes that it was and it was annulled. It never was, but here we say it was. And why is that? So the Gemara says, "Shema hid her tshuva b'libo," because maybe he thought tshuva in his heart. And if he thought tshuva in his heart, then in one moment He becomes from a Rasha Gomer, he becomes a Tzadik Gomer. What's the implication of this? What is a Beinoni? A person who has an Aveir on his record is a Rasha. A person who doesn't have any Aveiris on his record, whether because he never did an Aveir or because he did Tshuva, is a Tzadik. Where is the Beinoni?
You have both.
It seems to be a... What?
If you have both.
How? What do you mean? No, no. You can have a million mitzvahs. If you have one Aveira, you're a Rasha. That's halachically speaking. Again, it's not that halachically speaking. If someone did an Aveira, he's called a Rasha. He does tshuva, and as Aveira, he's a tzaddik. So the Beinoni seems to be a non-existent position. You're either a Rasha or a tzaddik. What does it mean, a Beinoni? It's not only if you ever are not only if you transgress on a mitzvah from the Torah, even someone who does a small avera midrabanan mikrei rasha, he's also called a rasha. Kedisa beperik beis diyavamis or beperik hamadinida. The Gemara, we find in two places in the Gemara that even someone who does that, who's ever an avera midrabanan, is also a rasha. That furthermore says the Alter Rebbe, even if a person never did an avera, however, he witnessed someone else doing an Aveira, and he didn't say anything. Even someone who has the ability to be Moicha, obviously in an instance where objecting would have some sort of effect. Because if objecting doesn't have an effect, Lavdafka, there's a, not necessarily is there a chiyuv to object. But if there are persons in a position where he can make a difference, and he doesn't, he's also called a Rasha. Mikri Rasha, but Perik Vav the Shavuos, and the Gemara and the sixth Perik Hashavuos, that person is called the Rasha. The Kol Shkein Vel Kal Vachemer, and how much more so? Certainly, the Mevat Leiz Mitzvah Asay Shav Shalei LeKaima, of someone abstained from doing a mitzvah which he could have done. He didn't do. He didn't. He was lazy. He didn't do a mitzvah. Kemoi, for example, Kol Sheev Shalei Lasik BeTeira VeEini Isik. Someone who has the ability to learn Teira and doesn't. Someone who comes home from work one night, and instead of sitting down to learn Torah, sits down to do something else. Sha'alav darshu razal, regarding such a person, the Chazal say, Mesech v'Sanhedrin, Kidvar Hashem Baza v'Goymer, this is a person who has scorned the word of Hashem, he has scorned the Torah by not learning Torah. He karis to karis v'Goymer, such a person deserves to be cut off. Upshitan, obviously, the mikri rasha, that such a person is called a rasha. Tfei ma'iver isr darabanan, much more than someone who is just over on a Isur Rabbanan.
So what machshava kemaaseh?
I don't understand your question.
Somebody thinking machshava, like I gotta get tzedakah. He didn't get tzedakah. Kemaaseh, like he gets tzedakah. So here he's thinking to make avera. Or he saw someone making avera.
Yeah.
Or mitzvah, and he did not moche.
Again, the Gemara says that if you see someone doing something wrong, and you didn't say anything, and you could have and should have. In other words, they're certain. You have to. This is a question of halacha. Does that mean that every time you see a you driving by on Shabbos that you're supposed to say something? I don't know. If wherever the halacha ramification of the mitzvah of hechiach techiach is. But if you didn't do that, then you're called a Rasha, which is mind-boggling, because this is a person who never did anything wrong, but he just didn't correct another person. But that mistake alone is enough to call a person a Rasha. And we're leading to a point. And what's the point? If so, al karchak, we must say habeinini ein be afilu avin bitul teira. If so, a beinini is someone who doesn't have any aveiras, not even the aveira of bitul teira. Why? Because if he does have an aveira, then he's a Rasha. And suddenly now we make sense. Now we can see why a Rabbah made the mistake to think that he's a Beinoni. Because if a Beinoni is someone who never does an Aveira, and to the point that he never even is Mevatel Torah, then I can accept why Rabbah might have thought that he was a Beinoni. It was a mistake, Taker. Rabbah was certainly a Tzaddik, but at least now we can understand that a Beinoni isn't half mitzvahs and half Aveiras.
So
we have to get there. We have to.
Why was he abandoning? because he did learn all the time.
We don't know yet. So the question becomes something else. If a Beinoni is someone who never does an Avera,
it's Rabba.
And who never is Mevatel Torah. So what's our question now?
What's a
tzaddik?
But why is he calling himself a Beinoni? According to him.
That's a good question. The answer to that question is going to come in Perek Yudbeis. No, but at least now it makes sense. For Rabba, if a Beinoni is someone who's half mitzvahs, half averus, for Rabba to say that he's a Beinoni is a ridiculous joke. Once we understand that a Beinoni is a very, very holy person, so then we could see that how Rabba, we could see how he made that mistake to say he was a Beinoni. It was, I'm not here, I'm over here. It's not that Rabba's here and he said he thought that he was over here.
He thought someplace he was lacking something.
Yeah, and what that is, we'll have to get to.
But that's why he...
Yes, yeah. But had a Beinoni been Mechzav Zachias or Mechzav Averis, he never would have made that mistake. You knew he was at least a Beinoni, right?
That's why Abaye was surprised. It's his Rebbe, you're a tzaddik.
Right, and Abaye was right. And later we're going to see what the...
What he thought, he was right.
Yeah.
But Rabbi knew something that Abaye didn't.
We're going to find that out. Perek Yud Gimel, we're going to understand the difference between a Beinoni and a tzaddik much more detail, and then we'll understand why Rabbi made that mistake. Okay. We find in many places, including in the Gemara, that says the mechzal mechza mikre beinoni, that someone with half mitzvahs half averus is called a beinoni. Verev zachi is someone who has mostly mitzvahs mikre tzaddik is called a tzaddik. So that's not a real definition. It's called hushema mushal. Shema mushal means a borrowed term. But sometimes we borrow a term, but it's not a real definition. For example, if I say about this person that he doesn't give a penny of tzaddiki, it's a heart made of stone. Does he have a heart made of stone? He doesn't have a heart made of stone. What?
And he gives more, probably more than a few, than just a penny.
But that's called a shema mushal. That's called, that's not a real, what?
Metaphor.
It's a metaphor, right.
Right?
Yeah. Shema mushal is a similar idea. Al-Tareb is going to explain like this. After 120 years, when a person goes up to heaven, they make a judgment. And then if you have mostly mitzvahs, then you're called tzaddik bidinoi. You are meritorious and victorious in Yedin, and they send you off to Gan Eden. And if a person, Rachman al Islam, has more averus than mitzvahs, then he's called a Rasha Bedina. He's considered, he's found guilty. He's a Rasha. And he's sent to where Rishoyim go. And half is called a Benyani. And this is also every year this judgment is made. It's in the Rabbah Melchus Tshuva. Every year in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the same judgment is made. And there's, as we all know, the famous, the scale, mitzvahs and averus. So because when we are judged, there's what's more mitzvahs, more averus. So therefore, there's a borrowed term, and someone who has more mitzvahs than averus sometimes is called a tzaddik. But that's not the real definition of the term tzaddik. And sometimes someone with more averus will be called a rasha. That's not the real definition. The real definition, we're going to find out now. This is a borrowed term, and it's really regarding reward and punishment. Because we are judged after the roif, after the majority of our actions. And someone is victorious, tzaddik, he's found innocent, he's found righteous in din. He's called a tzaddik because he wins the judgment. If you want to really, really understand the real definition of the term, and the levels, the different levels of tzaddik ubeinyini, amr razal. So that the Gemara says, Masechtas Brachas. Tzaddikim yitzir toiv shayftan. Remember, we had that. We learned that a little earlier today. But then the Gemara adds in, Shenemar, tzaddikim are ruled and judged by the yitzir toiv, as it says, V'libi chalol bikir bi ladav, the Melech says, right in Kapitel Nun Aleph, V'libi chalol bikir bi, says, my heart is hollow. And what does the Gemara mean? What does that mean? She'ein le'yitzer hara, the David HaMelech, the Gemara says, didn't have a yitzer hara. Ki horgei betaynis, because he killed it through fasting. What is a tzaddik? The Gemara says, a tzaddik is someone who yitzer toiv shayftan, who's only judged by his yitzer toiv. And why? Because he doesn't have a yitzer hara. Like David HaMelech, who got rid, eliminated his yitzer hara through tshuva and through fasting. Someone who didn't reach this level of David HaMelech, someone who still has Yetzer Hara, even though he has more mitzvahs than Averis, he's not at all on the level of a tzaddik. And therefore, Chazal tell us, the Eibishter saw, Hashem saw, that tzaddikim are far and few in between. He went and put a few in each generation. As it says, v'tzaddik yisoid olam, a tzaddik is the foundation of the world. In other words, sometimes you can have even one tzaddik in a generation. Now, if a tzaddik is someone who's mostly mitzvahs, what does it mean that the Eibishter saw that they're far and few in between? That many people have more mitzvahs than averus. But obviously, we're working here, we're operating here, with a different definition of what a tzaddik is. That a tzaddik is someone not only who has no averus, that's obvious, that even a beinoni has no averus. But a tzaddik is someone who has no yetzer hara. And those people are people without a yetzer hara, they're taka far and few in between. That's not something which is a usual thing. And therefore, the Eibishter didn't want to put them all in one generation, and he went and he put a few tzaddikim in every single generation. With this, we concluded the introduction. In other words, we finished all the Mamari Chazal. The Alter Rebbe establishes this point. We now know that a tzaddik is not just someone who's a good guy. You know, that's the way he's a tzaddik. We use the word liberally. We use it to refer to beautiful people and Shana people and people who are, people who learn Torah and do a lot of mitzvahs, but the real definition of a tzaddik is not someone who's a nice guy, not someone who gives a lot of tzedakah, someone who doesn't have a yetzer hara.
Right.
Period. Doesn't have a yetzer hara. And a beinoni, someone who never does an avera.
Then what's the difference between a tzaddik gomer and a tzaddik sheino gomer?
That we have to find out. And we're not going to find it out for a while. A lot of the things here we didn't answer. We don't know what Eiv, what Brasa Tzaddik and Brasa Hashem, we don't know yet. And there are a lot of stuff here. The Rai Mehemna. Correct.
So it means every person must have a Yetzer Hara or something.
We spoke about this last week.
Yeah.
The word Yechta doesn't necessarily mean an Avera. The word Yechta can mean a Chasarn and Avedas Hashem. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's chet? Depends which mefarish you look at. But it wasn't. He wasn't ever on one of the Ramach. He was never mevatel Torah. He wasn't ever on one of the. It's a different. It was a chesar. He did something which wasn't lifi madrig asay, but it wasn't chas v'shalom on avera the way we understand it. You know, when Avram Avinu. David HaMelech is taka. David HaMelech is considered a Baal Teshuva, if you look in the Kabbalah. In other words, more so than the others, where he tackled something which Avraham Avinu. So in last week's parsha, we had, even this week's parsha, right? No, that was last also. The Ramban says that Avraham, when he went to the Mitzrayim, was a chet. When he was a chet. We didn't tell you to say, now I'll go down to Mitzrayim. I mean, it says it, but it didn't apply then. But it wasn't Amun on the Eibishter, according to his level. It's a different sort of chet. Sorry, Mino. Also, the Ramban says about it. Where was that last parsha or this week's parsha? The last week's parsha. That Vatana Hasara Vatirach, right? That was last week's parsha. Yeah. So we know that our eyes are being opened to some different definitions over here. And with that, we're ready to get started. Now we're ready to start Tanya.
So Yosef Atzadik was a tzadik? The only one called Yosef Atzadik?
Right. He got rid of it.
Yeah.
Everyone is born with a Yetzer Hara. Even a tzaddik is born with a Yetzer Hara.
And it's different Yetzer.
Yeah. And also you have to remember that a Rasha can become a tzaddik also. And sadly sometimes somehow or other it can be the other way around also. You have great people who fell. Yechanan Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol for 80 years. He went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim 80 times. Imagine the Madriga of Kedusha, and then he became a Tzedukim. A Elisha ben Avuya. I mean, you have people who are, it happens. How exactly the mechanism that someone can fall from the level of tzaddik, I don't know. But it can, that can happen. In other words, as what's your name? Reb Nota. As mentioned earlier, it's these levels describe a particular person at a specific time. The chassidim sometimes, I know, they say about someone, he's sometimes a beinoni. Sometimes. Okay. And now we're going to begin with the thesis of Tanya. Achbir inyan, it's around the 10 lines from the bottom of page 10. Achbir inyan. If you want to understand everything, the foundation of Tanya is the next few words. Api mashakasav Rabbi Chaim Vital, Zuchayna Levracha, Mishar HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Vital, you know, he was the chief transcriber of the teaching of the Arizal. The Arizal himself didn't write anything, but the Arizal, although the Arizal had many students, he only authorized one student to transcribe his writings, and that's Reb Chaim Vital. Although other students wrote, but we're not mekabel so much what the other students wrote. Reb Chaim Vital was the authorized biographer, not a biographer, but he wrote the Kisvei Arizal. So the Reb Chaim Vital writes in Shar HaKadosha, and also he writes in Eitz Chaim, Shar Gimel Peri Beis, the L'chol Ish Yisrael, every Yid, Echad Tzadik ve'echad Rasha, whether the person's a Tzadik or is a Rasha, Yeshtei Neshamas. Every Yid has two Neshamas. And as we're going to continue over the next Perek, or the next chapter, one of these Neshamas is called the Nefesh Alikis, the divine soul, the godly soul, the Nefesh Alikis. And the other one is the Nefesh Abahamas, the animal soul. Any of you have heard these terms before? Nefesh al-Kis, yeah. Nefesh al-Mamas?
Yeah,
let me ask you a question.
What's the Shabbos Neshamas?
It's the Neshama Yisrael. It's a new dimension of Kedusha which enters your Neshama. No, it's the same Neshama. Same Neshama, just a new level, new dimension of the Kedusha. The Neshama becomes revealed within the body. The Neshama is multidimensional. Let me ask you, is this a Chiddush Reb Chaim Vital? That we have two neshamas, two nefashas.
He's saying that two oil different neshamas, and the same neshama is sometimes alikus and sometimes.
That's what we have to discover. And how is this different than Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara? Is there a difference between the Nefesh Alikis, Nefesh Abahamas, and Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara? And if it's the same thing as the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, the Reb Chaim Vital needs to say that. How many times in the Gemara does it talk about the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara? So we're going to find out that the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, sometimes they might be loosely associated, but it's a different thing altogether. Reb Chaim Vital is really telling us a new thing, a revolutionary thing. You mind passing the drink?
Oh,
thanks. What does the word Yetzer mean? Okay. How's it Yetzer Tov? How's it translated generally into English?
Good inclination.
Inclination. Very good. Inclination. Yetzer Tov is the good inclination, and the Yetzer Hara is the evil inclination. What is the word inclination? It means I'm inclined to something. Sometimes I'm inclined to do good, and sometimes I'm inclined to do bad. So, saying that I have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara is not saying there are two me's. It's not saying that. All it's saying is that there's one me, there's one person, and this one me, sometimes I want to do good things, and sometimes I want to do bad things. And this is something which everyone knows. You can't even say it's a chiddush of the Gemara. Everyone who's a human being knows that we're driven in different directions in many, many areas of our life, if not in every area of our life. So when we see a piece of chocolate cake, on the one hand, I want to eat it. On the other hand, part of me says don't eat it because it's not good for me if it isn't good for me. And when it comes to waking up in the morning, one part of me says I don't want to wake up, I want to sleep. Another part says I need to wake up, I need to go daven, I need to go work, etc. Is that two different me's? Same me. The same me can desire many, many different things. Why is that? Because what do, at the root of all human endeavors, what's there? What's our ultimate desire? What are we looking for? What is the human being looking for? Sorry?
To do good.
To do good. You feel that drive on a daily basis? That's what motivates you?
I try.
I didn't ask what you
tried.
When you sit down after work by the table to eat supper, what's motivating you to eat? then we talk of a tzaddik over here.
Satisfaction,
pleasure. That's what we're looking for. Now, if I have this piece of chocolate cake in front of me, if I eat it, I'll get pleasure. If I don't eat it, I'll also get pleasure, right? Because I'll be healthy and I'll look good and I'll, right? So therefore, my question is, how am I going to get pleasure right now? That's my question. So it's not two me's, it's one me. There's one me looking for pleasure. The problem is that in life, in almost every single scenario, there are different ways to get my pleasure. And therefore, I'm conflicted what to do. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to wake up, I want to sleep. Why? Because sleep gives me pleasure. On the other hand, I do want to wake up. Why? Because getting up and davening and going to work and being on time and making a living also makes me feel good. Which one am I going to do? So I'm inclined in different directions. So Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara means there is me, I'm a human being, I have my needs, and due to the fact that I have my needs and my feelings and my physical needs, my emotional needs, sometimes I want good things and sometimes I want bad things, but it's all the same me. It's all the same me. And the Gemara says, whenever the Gemara talks about Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, it's telling us we have to be aware that we have to follow the good inclination. And the evil inclinations that we have need to be suppressed and need to be eradicated. We have to stick to the good that we want to do. Comes along Reb Chaim Vital, and this is the Chochmas HaKabbalah, and says Reb Chaim Vital, I want to tell you there's something much deeper than that. And that is, there isn't one you. It's not that there's one you, and part of you wants to do good and part of you wants to do bad, but all motivated by the same person, probably the same personality. There are two yous. Only in a Yid, by the way. Only in a Yid. A Goy, Take, is a unidimensional. A goy is Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, but not a Nefesh Elokis and Nefesh Bahamas. Because a goy is a single person who desires to meet his own needs, self-preservation, satisfaction, pleasure, and all those things. That's what a goy wants. And sometimes that means the goy will want to do good things, and sometimes that means the goy will want to do bad things. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. A Yid has something else entirely. And that's a Nefesh Elokis. Which means, and simple, and this is what we're going to, I'm saying this out now, but as we continue, we're going to learn this more in depth. That means there's a certain part of me that's not looking for pleasure at all. It's not looking for pleasure. It's not looking for satisfaction. It's not looking for gratification. It's not looking anything out for me. The Nefesh Elokis, as we'll see soon, is a Chelek Aleka Mimal, is a part of the Eibishter, Kaviyachol. And all it wants to do is connect with the Eibishter and do what the Eibishter wants. And every single Yid has that with it. Tahira. What does the word Tahira mean? It's pure of any selfishness. There's nothing selfish about it. That's the Nefesh Elokis that a Yid has. And this idea of the Nefesh Elokis Nasham Bahamas, not Tanya is not about the battle between good and evil. It's about the battle between the selfish me and the godly me. The Nefesh Bahamas and the Nefesh Elokis.
So the Bahamas is the selfish.
Yes. The Bahamas is the natural selfish me that wants all good, and as we'll find out, the Nefesh Bahamas has positive traits that also, it wants good things also, but it's about me. The Nefesh Elokis is not about me, it's about the Eibishter.
The Bahamas is different than the
Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, are both part of the Nefesh Bahamas.
So you can have pleasure during mitzvahs, but it's
absolutely
not,
yeah.
It's not selfless.
That's correct. Nefesh Elikis is not about me at all.
It's a shame Shemayim.
Yeah.
Lishma.
100%. Nefesh Elikis has no ego to it whatsoever. How do we know that every Yid has a Nefesh Elikis? And we're going to learn more about this at length next week. How do you know every Yid has a Nefesh Elikis? Where do we see the Nefesh Elikis in its purest form? When a Yid goes on Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is the ultimate form of, it's not about me, it's not about my pleasure, my gratification, my satisfaction, it's about the Eibishter. And the fact that every Yid has the ability to go on Mesiras Nefesh, and historically millions upon millions, demonstrates this Nefesh Elikis which is within every single Yid. And this connects directly to this week's Parsha. Because at the end of this week's Parsha, we're going to include this idea about the Akedah. We know the Akedah, which is what we read about in this week's Parsha, is an incredible Yisoid in Yiddishkeit, incredible foundation in Yiddishkeit. Every morning we read the story of the Akedah. On Rosh Hashanah, what do we? We turn to the Eibishter and say, V'akedas Yitzchak Lazare Hayoim Berachmim Tisker. We ask Hashem, please remember the Akedah. And the famous question is, what's the big deal about the Akedah? Why is it that 4,000 years later we're still thinking about the Akedah? Well, what's the big deal? The fact that a Yid was willing to give up his life for the Eibishter? How many millions of times has it happened since then? And moreover, not only that. We'll get there in a second. Who's your Rebbe? Hold your thought. We're going to get there. Hold your thought.
Avram did that already.
Avram and
so the Akedah was not a big deal because Avram jumped into the fire.
Or caused him.
One second.
If the mile of that, if the greatness of that Akedah was that it's hard to give your child, then every single day we should be talking about Chana v'Shiva Banel. Chava Chana and her seven sons. When she finished Taka, she said that Avram, you made one mizbeach, I made seven mizbeach, and it's more than that. You would think that the average Yid who gave up their life for Yiddishkeit, as it happened again millions upon millions of times, Rahman al Islam, and they did so without the Eibishter appearing to them and telling them to do it. Here Hashem appears to Avram and says, do it. Did Avram have a choice otherwise? Imagine if the Eibishter comes to you and tells you, and you know you're not hallucinating, you know that it's there because you've had it, it's happened before, you've spoken to Eibishter. Eibishter comes and says, how could you do otherwise? So what's the Mesiras Nefesh we have so many times? Giving up kids, in the Crusades, many times people, the kids, they give up their kids' lives also. And I was the first time, so that's the very famous answer it's brought. It's a psichas and sinner. That means the opening of the, once the faucet is opened, it comes, right? But there was a rekazdom. We had a serious nefesh before, and so psichas and sinner should be rekazdom. And there are different answers that are brought. But the Rebbe has a very, very profound idea here. And the Rebbe says, we always equate giving up one's life with Mesiras Nefesh. But is that a fact? Is that always the case? What does the word Mesiras Nefesh mean? Mesiras Nefesh means I give myself up for? I'm giving myself self-sacrifice. I'm sacrificing the self. I don't care about the self. I'm doing what the Eibishter wants. However, it's possible sometimes that a person can give up their life and they're not doing self-sacrifice. They're actually doing self-aggrandizement. They're investing. They're thinking about themselves 100%, and to them, it's the best thing they can do for themselves for a variety of reasons. Sometimes a person says, okay, I'm going to die, but I'm going to go to Gan Eden. I'm going to have reward. So if a person says, I'm willing to die because I want to go to Gan Eden, is that self-sacrifice? How's that sacrificing the self? The contrary, you're saying, I'm getting rid of my miserable life over here so that I can have a greater time. A spiritual person who once He wants a relationship with Hashem, and he realizes the ultimate relationship with Hashem is through Mesiras Nefesh. That's self-sacrifice. And then you have another person who's lived a certain life, his entire life, and he's preached a certain derech, a certain path, and a certain philosophy. And a person, a gun is put to his head and say, either you reject everything that you live for your entire life, or we're going to kill you. What's that person going to do? Such a person can very clearly say, you know what, I'd rather die, because to live a life where I have to reject everything that I stood for and built up my entire life, my life is going to be worthless. I'd rather die. I'd rather be a martyr. I'd rather have a legacy. People look at that person. He lived for it and he died for it. But point being that many times a person can give up their lives and it's not self-sacrifice. Sometimes it can be, you could say in a subtle way, it can be a selfish act. Yimach Shemam, all the terrorists in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the suicide bombers, that's self-sacrifice. Because to die with the fantasy and the imagination that in heaven you're going to get kach v'kach v'kach, that's self-sacrifice. It's the most selfish thing in the world that there is. The definition of self-sacrifice in Mesiras Nefesh is when it's not about me at all. I'm giving up my life for the Eibishter. Where do we see that? So the Rebbe says, but Ur Kasdim, sure it was Mesiras Nefesh. However, here was Avram and Nimrod. And Nimrod is standing in front of Avram and telling Avram, you know, I want you to reject everything you thought. You have thousands of Talmidim where you thought about Hashem Echad. I want you not to stand up and to bow down to this Getchka, to this idol. Avram Taka was going on Mesiras Nefesh 100%, self-sacrifice. But someone who was standing by the side can say, he's willing to die because to preserve his legacy, because life, if he repudiates everything that he stood for, life isn't worth living. Where did we see the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh was by the Akedah? Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Ki be Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. This here, Yitzchak, this is going to be the everything that you've built for the past 30 years of your life. Yitzchak is going to be the one who's going to bring it to the next generation. And Hashem promised him, V'yizaracha kafara aretz, all the beautiful brachas, your children will be like the dust of the earth. And Avram put in more than 100 years of work, and everything, the purpose of everything was that Yitzchak should carry this on. And then one day Hashem comes to Avram and says, you know what, Avram, I changed my mind. Go kill your son. Which basically means, go destroy yourself. That's what Hashem was telling Avram Avinu. There's nothing to be gained from this. Avram was being asked to single-handedly destroy everything that he created. Sorry?
He thought. God didn't tell him.
But that was the Nisayan. And Avram, Vayashkim Avram Babaker, he wakes up early and with happiness, Vayachavish is Chamayra, he has 318 servants, but with a simcha, he goes and he saddles his donkey. He goes and he chops the wood. The Ramban says, why did he chop the wood? Hashem said, go. Why doesn't he chop the wood where he's going to be? The Ramban says that he's worried that maybe over there won't be good wood. Maybe the wood will be a little wormy. So he's busy chopping the wood for today's 136 years old. And with a chayis and a zrizos, he's going to destroy himself. That's essentially what he's going to do. That's Mesiras Nefesh. And that taki, what we were saying is correct. What's your name? Reb Shlema. What you're saying is correct. That was the opening of the tzinner. But why? Why was that so special? Why is that more special than the Rekazdan? And when Avram did what the Eibishter wants, there was no one there. Not Yishmael, not Eliezer. They were together with the donkey. It's Avram and Yitzchak and the Eibishter. So no one can afterwards come and say, wow, but we witnessed it, we saw it, and it was so heroic. And Avram passed this test with flying colors. And that is the Nefesh Elikis. And that a goy can't do. A goy can do a lot of amazing things. But the nekudah of utterly putting oneself aside, and there is no thought about oneself whatsoever, and to give up on oneself up to the Eibishter, that is purely a function of the Nefesh HaLikis. And that is the chiddush. Just one second, I'll get to you. Of Reb Chaim Vital over here, and that's what he's saying over here. That whatever, it's not about Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara means, I want this, I want that. I want to do good. I want to do bad. Even the Yetzer Tov is me, right? I'm inclined. Nefesh HaLkis is not about what I want to do. Nefesh HaLkis is about my connection to the Eibishter and my bittul to Hashem. Yes. Based on what we're saying over here, it would seem, it would seem that Avram has the bigger Mesiras Nefesh. Avram was the one who worked for 100-something years, and it's being destroyed. Yitzchak was happy. He's going to be a Eilat Tmima, he's going to be a carbon, connect to the Eibishter, unbelievable.
One search of my father's name, that Avram says, V'lekim Nisos Avram, Hashem tested Avram, Shibim L'kim Nisos Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the man on the altar, not Avram. As my father said, in my observed place, that Yitzchak was raised by Avram. He knew from Yerushalayim. He knew from Seir Stefesh. Avram was raised by Terah. Where did he learn this concept of the Seir Stefesh? So by him it was a big Nisra. But the Kim Nisus Avram, by him it was a Chiddush. Yitzchak. And the Tatas is my father's album, he's a Spring Young.
Right.
You know, so I didn't understand the last part, but I'll just jump back a second with the Nefesh Elokus,
Nefesh Elokus, Nefesh Bahamas.
Nefesh Bahamas. I didn't have the difference. Nefesh Elokus, I understood. Nefesh Bahamas, I understand that's. That's part of the Nefesh Elokus that sometimes acts in a.
You mean Yetzer Tov or Yetzer Hara?
Yeah. In other words, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara is one entity.
It's me. And I sometimes am inclined to do the right thing. It's my Yetzer Tov.
And sometimes not. And the Nefesh Elokus and Nefesh Bahamas.
The Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are both the Nefesh Bahamas. Both of them. Nefesh HaLkis is something else entirely. That's the Chiddush of Chaim Vital. No, every Yid has it. Every single Yid has Nefesh HaLkis.
How do we differentiate between the words? Because they are words. Nefesh.
Next week, it'll be very well differentiated. For example, we'll find out next week that even Midrash Tov Shebetava Yisrael, the fact that we're Rachmanim, Agrim, and Chassadim, they come from the Nefesh HaBahamas. So you might want to say that's the Yetzer Tov. Let's leave that for next week. My point is, yeah.
You're saying that Goy does not have a Nefesh HaLkis. Is Avram the first person to have a Nefesh HaLkis?
Exactly.
Did
he
get the Nefesh
HaLkis
before
Har Sinai? Avram Avinu was the first Yid. That's why, in other words, we had Tzaddikim before and Yid Noach, but he's not called the first Yid. Avram is the first Yid, and he was Zoycha to this holy Neshama, and he gave it as a Yerusha to every single one of his descendants from Avram Avinu. Yeah. That's our inheritance from Avraham Avinu. The neshama is a gift. Yeah, it's not something you can earn on your own.
The Nefesh HaLkis was a gift from Hashem to Avram.
Correct. And from there, it passed on to all the children. Now, the reason why this is so important is because our understanding of the Nefesh HaLkis, Nefesh HaMahamas, and Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll broaden and have more depth to our understanding of them. Are going to frame Tzaddik Rosh Rabbeinu. Because once we understand the Nefesh HaLkis Nefesh HaMahamas, and we understand the battle in between them, we'll understand also the extent of victory in battle is what makes someone a Tzaddik, a Rasha, or a Beinoni. So that's why it's important to understand what the Nefesh HaLkis Nefesh HaMahamas is because that's going to constitute the battle of Tanya. And Tanya, when we're talking about the battle and the struggle, it's the battle and the struggle between the Nefesh HaLkis Nefesh HaMahamas. Not good and bad. The selfish me, and the divine me, and the godly me, the batuldik me. And if you're at this stage in the battle, then you're a tzaddik. If you're at this stage, you're a beinoni. And at this stage, you're a rasha. And obviously, that all expresses itself also in thought, speech, and action. But this is all we're going to continue learning as we go along.
Tonight, how should we think of ourselves? What should I walk out of here thinking? What was my tzaddik tonight? What did I learn tonight? Am I a Beinoni? Am I
That's an amazing question.
Tzaddik, I don't know.
That's an amazing question. And my answer to you is, you can't use these terms on yourself until you understand them fully. So otherwise, it's just, what am I? I don't even know yet exactly what this is, what that is, what the other is. So the one thing we definitely could take out from tonight. No, it was a mistake. It was a mistake.
He was really a tzaddik.
He was really a tzaddik, yeah. How he made the mistake, we'll find out. How and why he made the mistake, we'll find out. But it was a subtle mistake, as one pointed out. It was a very, very subtle mistake. So what can we take out? And that's an amazing question. And we should, every single lesson,
summary,
we should come out, right? I want to point out that in most times, most the parakim, when we're going to learn, the answer is going to be more obvious. Today, because we learned Perek Aleph, we were setting the foundation with all the Gemaras, so it's hard to settle on one point. What do we take out? There are a few things. First of all, we can take out that we can have a greater appreciation for tzaddikim than we had before. Tzaddik is not just someone who does mitzvahs a little better than me, but a tzaddik is someone who not only never does an avera, but doesn't even have a yitzhahara. So that's number one. So we could have some bittul to tzaddikim. We can increase our hiskashrus and our hisbatlus to tzaddikim. That's one thing we can do right away. I realize it's a different, entirely different league. That's number one. Number two, we can understand that what Rechaim Vital said, that every Yid has a nefesh kis nefesh bahamas, which means that even though we might look at ourselves sometimes and think that we're selfish and that we're all out, as they say, we're out for number one, we're only out for ourselves, but that's one part of me. Because I'm a Yid, taka, we say every morning, neshama shenasata b'tohirai, we all have a neshama, we all have the ability to do mesiras nefesh for the Eberster. If I have the ability to give up my life for the Eberster, then I definitely have the ability this week to do one more mitzvah for the Eberster, for my nefesh elikis. Yeah.
Why we said nefesh elokit ma?
Right.
Nefesh behemit.
Right.
We don't say anything about it.
Correct. What do you mean we don't say anything about it?
We said nefesh behemit.
Yeah, we're going to learn more about it next week.
And then nefesh elokit mimal.
Right.
We use the word mimal.
Mimal doesn't mean...
Shamayim.
Yeah, but shamayim, it doesn't mean spatially. In other words, when we're talking spiritually, when we say higher and lower, we don't mean physically higher and lower. Okay? If there's a tzaddik here sitting in this room, and I'll say this tzaddik is higher than all of us, does that mean that he's next floor up?
You're more connected to Hashem.
So when we say the word mimal, we don't mean that it's up near the moon somewhere. Okay? Mimal means that it's closer to the Eibishter. It comes from... Nefesh Bahamas is not Memal. No. It's not.
I once heard a question asked to Rebecca Miller, say Tzadik Lebrocha, famous question, Tzadik Barali Rosh Betoibli. She says, I can't answer that, I mean, obviously, but I can give you the first he saw it, I heard him say it. He says, Tzadik Barali, how do you know he's a Tzadik? What do you know about this person who's inside? Rosh Betoibli, how do you know that he's a Rosh? You saw him opening this